Good evening and welcome to the Car, Sim and Race Driver Show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Andrew Marr, who is texting away. That's all good. That's all good. Well, we hope you're all well and having a good week. We know that it's been a bit difficult in the last wee while with all these lockdowns and horrendous coronavirus. But hopefully, you're all well and things will start to get better. Potentially, we were told today it might only be another 3 weeks or so of this kind of emphatic lockdown. But we'll see how it goes, if it's going to be any longer than that. But you've got at least half an hour of motorsport madness and banter that you would never get anywhere else.
Nor would you want it anywhere else. Not if you had any sense.
You're maybe perhaps a glutton for punishment. Then you'll be glad to be watching the show, eh? But we've got news for you, though. And one of the headlines tonight is there is a Chinese Grand Prix coming up this weekend. It's another virtual race. And it has six drivers from the current Formula One grid. Have a guess, Andrew, as to who it might be.
Oh, I'm going to take a stab at Lando Norris.
Yes.
Because he's been having a virtual race five times a night for the past 3 weeks, I think. I keep getting emails. Lando Norris is live on Twitch. And you're like, is he? Okay. Okay, so Lando Norris. Who else is a regular coming back? Is Johnny Herbert going to be in it again? I hope so.
I'm not sure. I didn't mention that, to be fair, on Autosport. Oh. But think who has already been involved.
Yeah, I'm trying to. That's why I went to, for Johnny Herbert. So Lando Norris. What about the It Is I, Leclerc brothers?
Yes. Well, certainly Charles Leclerc is in it.
What about
Arthur? Arthur,
King of the Britons.
So Charles Leclerc is in it. Alex Albon is in it.
Oh, he was in last time, wasn't he?
He was in it last time.
Very well.
Nicholas Latifi. Nicholas Latifi.
Well, he didn't do very well either, did he?
No. Yeah. Along comes Ant. Ant is watching.
Is he? Hello, Ant. Are you watching?
Good to see you, Ant. Good to see you. And or to hear from you. Or to see your comments. It's all good. And then also we have George Russell. He is involved as well on Sunday, and it's at 6 o'clock Sunday BST. So we are planning to see if it's possible, because it's a wee bit earlier than the normal one, if we can maybe do some commentary on that. We'll see how we go. But we haven't made final commitments to that, but we'll let you know. If you look out for our adverts for our streams, because we'll do our best to let you know as soon as we can. It might well be that just goes straight out on Podbean, to make it a little bit easier. So there's lots going on, and it's kind of, and oh, there was also a big thing about the F1 cost cutting. McLaren have recommended that they bring down the team cap, or the budget cap, to $100 million. Which is, that's low, really, when you think about it.
Barely pay for a car.
Yeah, well, it was originally $175 million, and they were trying to bring it down, I think, to $145 million. That's been agreed in principle, they reckon. But they're still calling for more cuts, to maybe down to like 135. And they might take it over a 2 year period.
I was listening to an interview with Binotto and of Ferrari. And one of the things he was pointing out is that some of the teams, like Mercedes and Renault and Ferrari, do more, completely a lot more than the customer teams. You know, they develop an engine and maintain the engines, this kind of stuff. And so he reckons that that's a pretty good reason why they should have a slightly different cap, because if they supply an engine. get your picture up.
I'll try the picture. I know the last time when I did that, it ended up causing problems because there was a little bit of interference on Podbean. So I will check Podbean in a wee second. But for all those who love it,
it looks quite good.
Yeah. I'm disappearing off into the background there. My head is going like something out of Terminator. But, but there we are. Drive fast and try not to crash. So they're trying to bring down the...
You could be John Motson.
No, I don't know why it's taken away half my head, but at least it makes it look as if I had my hair cut. Which at the moment I can't have that.
Green screen behind me, making it look like I'm not sat at my desk.
Yeah, it's different to what it was last time. Yeah. But very effective.
A bit of a move around. That's yes. Much nicer.
Very effective. Yeah. But, it's there we go. As far as I know, all our listeners on Podbean are fine. They haven't said that there's any problem, so we'll see how that goes.
That's calling you Max Headroom. Yeah, so, I mean, this I get what he was saying, actually. Matteo Binotto. Ferrari and Mercedes and Renault have to have the cost of developing an engine as well and you know, making it reliable and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I can see where it's coming from. Their budget requirements are slightly different.
Yeah.
It's an expensive thing. Isn't it the single most expensive part of the car, the engine?
Yeah, yeah. And now they're so much smaller than they used to be. Because a few weeks ago, I was looking at one of the old F1 engines when it was a Ferrari from 95. And they took the top off the car. And, you know, it's still quite a big engine. You know, and it's, obviously it was a V12. And now with this little V6, it's so small compared to it. Although the bodywork behind the car is quite big, you know, but it's still quite a small.
Oh, yeah, but you've got a gearbox behind that, and you've got that. I mean, and the fuel tank as well is between the driver and the engine.
Aye. So it's
you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. Aye.
So yeah, no, it's interesting how it's completely changed. I have to say, I still prefer the old designs. I think the back of the car was so unique when it was quite, you know, it kind of came up on both sides and went down in a kind of quite a dramatic way. So they looked kind of squatter. I mean, what always amazes me is when you see a Formula One car for real, it's how long it is. And in the old days, they were quite long, but they're also wide. And with those engines as well, they were something else. Now it's much, much smaller. So they're going to, I think we might even see the technical regulations for 2000, that were going to be 2021, coming into even 2023.
You lost my hair.
Yeah, I know. At least we're getting compliments about something.
I'm thinking of taking up, my next career is going to be as a model. Not a male, I'm going to be a Spitfire.
I'm going to turn that down if it works.
Or Terminator, I could actually just be Terminator.
Let's see if I can adjust that a wee bit. Yeah, that's a bit better.
I could be a model of one of the characters in Viz.
So yes, there we go.
It was the Ferrari that started this, what do they used to call it, the Coke bottle, where it sort of did that. I've read Adrian Newey's autobiography, and it's really good because it's how to make a racing car. It's brilliant. It's a proper geek's book. If you're a nerd and you like to have things explained, read that. It's really good because he is a nerd. I mean, he's about as nerdy as anyone on the planet, I think, Adrian Newey. I love him. And he was saying that part of the whole design philosophy that he started to make the cars as fast as his cars have been is making it as small as possible, coming off the back and underneath and the tub, you know, the V shape underneath, everything as little as possible. That's why when you get the pods now, they used to do that, didn't they, like a square, and now they go they sort of curve away quite dramatically, don't they, from the top, the wide at the top and sort of at the bottom, like shrink wrapped onto the back side of whoever's driving. It's all aerodynamics. It's all to get the air to go past and come off the back end nicely, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nice idea of yours to have it all slopey at the back, but it ain't happening. It's not going
to happen. Yeah, no, that's the thing. But on other news tonight, for all you gamers out there, and we have lots of gamers who play PlayStation and things like that and love the racing games. I know that now you've seen us play the racing games. You saw Jonathan and I play it. Last week we bit, didn't we?
Yes,
On GT Sport. Yeah, well, this is the exciting thing. I have an excuse now to play more games.
You're going to be rich.
Well,
you're going into the Formula 3000 sim races and you are second in the championship, no?
Not quite. But I have just bought a copy of Assetto Corsa for the PC and I'm hoping that my PC is going to be strong enough to run it. But as far as I know, it should be all right. And I'm going to be getting used to the whole game, trying to play it, make it all work. And then in turn, because there's going to be some big races coming up along in the summer, which I'll have some, hopefully some very exciting news about later on in the next, in fact, even possibly by next week. So it's going to be very exciting. But because it's slightly work-related, I have been able to convince my better half that I am going to play a Assetto Corsa. So,
and eventually I might even... slightly work-related. I could just imagine, I'm picturing the brainstorming meeting you had with yourself.
Yep.
Where you sat yourself down in a meeting and went, right, Hugh. And he went, yes, Mr. Hattrick. What, we need an idea. We need a good idea for business. You like Formula One. Yes, that's true. We could do something with racing cars. Yes, we could. You like cars in general, don't you? Yes, I do. What else do you like? Electronic virtual cars. Oh, yes, I like that. That's a brilliant idea. So let's call it the Car Sim and Race Driver Show. Then it's a business. And then I've got to play it because I've got to know what I'm doing.
I've got to be good enough? Because I need to learn. I need to learn all about.
Yvonne was listening at the door, going,
"He's gone mad. He is."
Well, I wasn't already mad. If I could do an impression of a sort of cranky's, you know, be like Al Murray does, but I doubt that Yvonne sounds like that. I just go, "That's my Claymore."
If she's firing claymores, I'm going to watch out about that.
No, but, firing? You're Scottish. Come on. Firing claymores. Claymore's a big sword, mate.
Oh, the sword. Sorry, I thought you meant a claymore.
Why would I talk about an American thing with ball bearings in it? No.
Too many Hollywood movies. But
I've used them. Because you see, what I used to play is Call of Duty. And I use claymores quite a lot.
Oh, of course.
but no, I have seen proper claymores. I have been to Blair Athol Castle.
Oh yeah.
Where the Black Watch is and the Victoria and Albert got together. And the Stuarts used to live. Do you know they were ugly? They looked like the weeds you'd beat up in school, you know, there were no chin. Honestly, look at all the portraits, you're like. One wall's great because it's a whole wall of brown besses, you know, the old musket. Like there's hundreds of them just on a wall. You're thinking, well, they're not going to be much good to anybody up there. But in one of the corridors, there's a proper, and it's a reaching height. Me and the kids had a good look, and it's sharp as anything. Presumably they've kept it sharp just to teach people a lesson.
Just Claymore, in case
and it's I had a Scottish friend talking about claymores once to me, saying, you see them on these films and they're doing it one-handed. No.
it's too heavy for that.
Yeah, it's a two-handed broadsword. It's designed to smash into people.
Going back to my Assetto Corsa, if anyone's watching who's ever played it, I'll need lots of advice as to how to make the replays work because I've got to be able to familiarise myself with the game completely and make it all happen. So I've got to be able to do replays, watch it all, see how all the kind of I think you can do like reviews. I mean, you can go into like the replays and watch where everything's happening.
This is all in the program, I guess.
This is all in the game. Yeah. So I'm going to download it all and then set it all up. And it's supposed to be very good. Everyone says
set up a Twitch account because apparently you can link Twitch to these things and you can play it on it and commentate yourself. On it. That's why I was on Twitch and you watch people that you know.
Yeah, because I'm on Discord. I've just tried to join Discord and have next to no idea how that works. I know I'm a member on somebody's server. That's about as much as I know. And I know I'm going to try and find other people. And one of my good friends has given me a video as pointers as to how to work that. But I'm sure by the time it all comes about, we'll be ready to do our stuff. But I'll try Twitch then and see if I can get myself linked up on that.
Twitch was quite easy, actually. I went on Twitch because I heard of it and I thought it was a telly thing. It kind of is, but it's a telly thing for gamers, really. If you're into your games, you got a telly welly mobile. A jiggy.
Quite good then. But so we're going to be doing that, and that's going to be really exciting. I can't wait to get behind the virtual wheel and get myself racing around those circuits and seeing how well I can do. But
kind of cars can you get in that then?
You can get everything from Mazda MX-5s right up to Formula One cars. They've got their own version of it, and they've got lots of mods as well, similarly. And because it's PC-based, you can apply these mods. And that means there's some incredible mods. They're the ones, you know, people build their own software and put it onto the game. And in turn, you can then download it, and you can get like all the Formula One themes, all sorts of different cars, famous races, famous times, you get like touring cars, all sorts of incredible tracks and vehicles in racing cars. Some are ridiculous, some are fantastic, but it's really, really good. So I can't wait to get into it.
The whole program and everything that goes on in it is modifiable. You can upgrade it to.
Yes, you can get these extra mods that you can do that people have kind of open sourced. I think some probably may charge for them. Some do it for free, but it looks pretty good. I don't know if people with Tourette's yet. It's going to be fun. So if I can try and record it, if I can connect it to Twitch, then I'll see if I can stream and record some of it as well. That would be quite fun.
Twitch. I didn't know what he meant for a second. I'm thinking Tourette's. They swear,
but
they have tics, and they twitch. Yeah, thanks for that.
That's the thing. That went straight over my head. But
Antonio, what do the Italians do? Pizza.
And they're reckoning that there's another headline for you here. Austrian Grand Prix.
I'm glad you've done this because I didn't actually look at anything.
Preparation. The Austrian Grand Prix. Sorry?
I've heard of it.
All right, yes.
I wasn't ready. Carry on.
No, that's fine. They are going to do the race behind closed doors. They are completely open to doing the race behind closed doors.
Ross Brawn was talking about that, wasn't he? He was saying that most likely. Mm-hmm. This is what I keep trying to tell people about Ross Brawn, you see. The man that knows, and he says sensible things. He really does. He's a good guy.
And you know who wants to ban Formula One this year? Wants to just say forget it?
Ban it. The FIA, because they ban everything else. No,
you're not too far away. The former FIA boss, Max Mosley.
Oh, Burke.
He just said we should just forget about this year's championship and that's it done.
I mean, he did a lot. He did a lot for safety, you know, Euro NCAP and all that kind of stuff. But come on.
No, it's quite a thing. Yep.
And Bernie were like that. I mean, Max Mosley is an interesting character because most people most people go, Max Mosley, isn't that Oswald Mosley's son? Isn't he a Nazi? That kind of stuff. Yes, he is Oswald Mosley's, Sir Oswald Mosley's son from World War II. The black shirts, were they? That kind of stuff. Yes, all that kind of stuff. But he was also one of the two co-founders of March Engineering, the chassis engineering. So customer chassis, Indy cars, carts, all this kind of stuff. Incredibly successful in motor racing itself. Great. And then in I think it was the 70s or the 80s, him and Bernie set up, is it FOCA? FOCA? Formula One Constructors Association to fight Jean-Claude Balestre. You say his name.
Balestre. Yeah.
That's him, Balestre.
Jean-Marie Balestre.
Jean.
I think that's what it was.
The pilot.
Was it Jean-Marie Balestre?
The French guy. And the reason why I say the French guy is because he was the one. Any Senna fans out there will know he's the one that Senna used to shout at. Because every time something helped a French driver, it seemed to go that way. He was about as corrupt as they come. But then Bernie is about as Bernie as they come, isn't he? It's like swapping a bent politician for a mafioso. It's kind of all...
Yes, it's all... It's. I think... To run these incredible sports, you do need people who are very charismatic and who can kind of make decisions. And that's why Bernie always says he just made the decisions himself, whether they were always right or not.
You may know this saying, because we're from a similar background in many things. For God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you've heard that one.
That's a very good one.
Committees are the worst thing that can ever happen anywhere ever. Because, you know, seriously, just the EU, the Parliament, the American government at the moment, they're all run by committees, and it doesn't work. Yeah. Ford bought Stewart Grand Prix, which was very successful, as we both know.
Yeah, one race.
They were getting better and better and better, and then Jackie Stewart, being a canny lad.
He must have made a good bit of money out of that.
Not a Geordie, though. I'll let you do his accent. You do it better. He saw the writing on the wall. He knew that there was no way that a small team could survive. It needed to be manufacture-based or manufacture-backed. So he had the opportunity. He sold it to Ford. So Ford took his team, which was obviously running very well indeed, and turned it into Jaguar. They ran it by committee. They put Bobby Rahal in there and then ruined everything. Because a committee kept deciding something. It had the same factory, it had the same people behind the scene, and it really should have been able to just get better. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take for Red Bull to undo all the nonsense that Ford had done with Jaguar? It was committee rubbish. That's what it was. Like you say, you need one or two people with a vision. The Patrick Heads and the John Williamses of this world, the Ross Brawns in Brawn GP, Jean Todt's single vision to make a good team.
No, that is true. I mean, it took a long time for Red Bull to really have any kind of proper performance, and yet Stewart Grand Prix was winning races. They as you say, they were getting better and better, and did really incredible performance when you think how young they were. And to be able to take a team like that and make it happen.
Five years old?
Yeah.
Well, I remember there's a kind of a contrast, because you had BAR came in with, I think, the second highest amount of money.
Budget.
They had a huge budget. And they didn't get a point for how many years? They were at the back. The team above them was Minardi. And there was some figure I remember on one of the TV shows. I can't remember exactly what it was. It was either that BAR's overspend was equivalent to the entire Minardi budget, or the motorhome thing they carry around was equal to the Minardi's budget. Whichever one it was, Minardi was able to take the tiny amount of cash they had and beat BAR. You know, BAR came in boasting that they had the best car and the best team and all the British American Tobacco money, and they had Jacques Villeneuve because it was partly his team, he part owned it, and all this kind of stuff. Honda engines, they were gonna be winning races by the end of the year, they reckoned.
And they were nowhere.
Anyone that knew anything just went, you don't go into Formula One and just do that. Jackie Stewart came in and went, well, listen, it's going to be 5 years before we even start midfield competitiveness. Don't start expecting anything. And didn't they get points in the first race or something like that?
And I remember
the
BAR, they had some big smashes as well. I mean, quite incredible crashes. Like the wings would fall off and all sorts of stuff. But I remember on Australia, the wings came off and there were some huge shunts. Villeneuve and Zonda and all sorts. They were always quite dramatic.
Do you remember that year in Spa?
Yes, incredible crash. Both crashed there, didn't they?
Spinning like, woo!
It was fast, even in slow motion. It was fast, the way it was going.
What the hell?
Yeah, and they walked away. Thank the Lord they walked away from that.
Shows how strong the cars are, you know.
Yeah.
You couldn't go flat in those days.
Yeah. No, that was it. Well, that's what you tried to do, wasn't it? They were going to try and go flat out up through Eau Rouge, and it didn't quite work.
Now, but, I mean, that's what the complaints are now, isn't it? It's too easy. There's too much grip. What they need to do is make the cars faster. Stop banning things.
No, it's an initial thing to always ban things. I hope this for all our listeners and viewers. Please let us know. You can comment, of course, there on YouTube. Or if you're on the Car Sim and Race Driver Facebook page, let us know your comments. That would be fantastic. I am trying a green screen behind me, and Ant's just said, why don't I buy a blue one? Which is great. So I've just spent £16 on a green one. So, so I'll have to spend £15 or more on a blue one.
There is some kind of setting where You can alter. Oh, maybe it's not on this program.
See, some things are a little bit easier than others.
You see the fade. If you look underneath the picture you picked, there's a fade. And if you play with that, it might make it more or less. So, like, see on. Can you see on?
All right. Yeah, you've got. All right. Yes, I've tried a bit with that, but it seems to block a bit out. And that bit that's fizzing away in the kind of left side, it seems to kind of do funny things with that. But yeah.
There you go. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, it looks like you're part of the wall. You're just kind of coming through the wall there. But
I have come to destroy you.
We're keeping our viewers amused, I'm sure. But yeah, so we were talking about, if I can remember correctly.
Cars, Sims, race drivers?
Grand Prix and big crashes. It was BARs and Stewarts and all of that.
They weren't so lucky striking them, were they?
Maybe we could have a show when we just do the puns. That would be quite good, wouldn't it? That would be.
If I'm under pressure, I'll forget them all.
No, that's the thing. And of course, you can visit our website, which is www.qhattrick.com. And you can subscribe to the channel there. It'd be fantastic to get more subscriptions.
I heard a good joke today on a podcast I was listening to. This guy was, for some reason, there was meant to be a medical podcast, and they went off and talked about dogs. And I'm outside walking, trying to get my head together on the beautiful beach, which was actually very beautiful today. I went paddling. And I'm listening to it, talking about dogs. And then one guy says, you can always tell who loves you most, your partner or your dog. He goes, yes, yeah, put them both in the boot, drive around for an hour. When you open the boot, see which one's pleased to see you.
Yeah.
I thought, that's quite good.
Yeah,
it's not going to be your missus, is it? She's probably going to get the tire, what Americans call the tire iron.
Yeah, and wag you. I know it's.
And I don't think it'd be much good saying I was doing an experiment, love.
Well, it's clear that the dog loves me more. You know.
Yeah. It will sit by your bludgeoned body, waiting for the paramedics to not arrive. She won't have called them.
Oh, we're bright and breezy today, aren't we?
So, any other news? Any other actual? So, it's behind closed doors, probably. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to be behind closed doors. We talked about this, didn't we? Okay, the atmosphere won't be quite as good and all this kind of stuff, but the big audience is the TV audience, isn't it? And that's where the real money comes from. The circuit gets the money from the crowd. But, you know.
But at least if it's people watching and the TV audiences. So if they at least run the race, even if it's no spectators on site, they're at least getting the revenue from the TV companies, which is important.
Exactly. There will be money coming in then, and then they won't go. Yeah. They're talking about. I've heard a couple of people say they reckon four teams are going to disappear this year because they won't have any money. You know, they get race the race money goes to them as well. The TV money is split to them as well, and it's tens of millions of dollars. It's not a couple of quid.
You know,
if people think they get all their money from, or even most of their money from sponsorship, they don't. They get it from the racing competition money and TV money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why they really have to happen in order for it to work and to keep going. It's pretty important, isn't it? I think in terms of motor racing, they were the biggest headlines that I could see today. I think it's hard for the motorsport community because with all this lockdown, how do you create the news? You know, how do you get things happening? And there's only so much you could do if there's no racing taking part. But hopefully, if it's another 3 weeks of lockdown, then maybe things will start to ease up in about June time or maybe middle of June, and we'll start to see some things happen. And they'll have more Formula One drivers coming into the esports races as well. I think that's crucial. They really need to do that.
Well, there seems to be less going in than last time.
Well, I think there's six. It was the same as before. There's six Formula One drivers from the current season. So that'll be the same coming into Sunday.
Jimmy Broadbent is... made comments on Twitter about how great it is to race alongside these untouchable people.
Yeah. Well, I do think though they need to do a bit more of that. I think they need to have all 20 of them. I think realistically, I think they could easily sort that out. I reckon, and I think that would be interesting because I think a lot more people would watch that and a lot of our generation would be interested in watching that. And if it was done properly through Sky and through YouTube and or whatever else, I know they do it on YouTube at the moment, but if it was done through the proper channels, and I think it would really help. And I think as it goes on, I think they'll be furiously working on it just now to try and develop the game. I think they realise they can't see enough of it.
And that's all we've got, isn't it? It just seems to me that they're putting more effort into playing old races.
You know,
they keep playing old races, and on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter and all these things, they're advertising the hell out of. They'll have a theme, Michael Schumacher winning in Spain. See that today, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. They put the old ones out.
Great. I mean, it's great to see them. Don't get me wrong. It's just.
It's not quite. It's not. You know what's giving me think just there? Would it be not much more interesting to see all the F1 drivers doing rallycross and do a rallycross game? That'd be far more exciting at Brands Hatch.
You could have. Something. You could have a race of champions equivalent. Stick them on.
Yeah, that'd be far
cars,
more better.
Get them on a set of Corsa, what's it called again?
Yeah, a set of Corsa. Yeah.
A set of Corsa. And each race, they can pick whatever car and then see what they do. Have them just.
If they're going to put the
entertainment side of it, you know, the slightly mad, sillier side of it, do it properly. Yeah. Be mad.
Exactly.
They
could have Murray Walker commentating. That would be, because he used to do the commentary for the rallycross. He was brilliant at that. And I remember there was one when he said, and here comes whatever is Jimmy coming around the corner. And then and it was in a minute, and he went right off the track.
Oh, I know. Crashed. Yes, they keep playing that one.
That's what happens when you get your line wrong. it's the
famous Murray Walker kiss of death, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's going to win now, and they run out of petrol or something. Didn't Nigel tell him to shut up once?
Yeah.
Stop. And
when Senna came round in 92 at Monaco, with Mansell inches behind him, and they came into the exit of the RAS cast, the last corner, they kind of the hairpin down at the bottom, and then they kind of come up, and then it's the kind of tight right, and then they go on to the start finish straight. And he says, and Senna has won the Monaco Grand Prix almost certainly,
because Hakkinen's engine giving way on the last lap.
Yes, now that was that in Spain, I think, wasn't it? I think that was in Spain.
It happened, I think, in the same race, both McLaren and Mercedes went pop.
Yeah.
It was bad. DC now, and Hakkinen losing there.
Yeah, now Anne has come up with a great suggestion. Let them run round the track. And I was thinking you could do that, or you could have like a cycling race or a go-kart race round the Grand Prix circuits. And then they don't need spectators. Well, then they could do Monaco. You could just do Monaco in a go-kart.
See, Monaco in a go-kart might be all right.
Yeah, that might work because it's quite short.
Any other track, it would look so slow. It would be ridiculous.
They'd have to cut a bit of it out.
Imagine the straights in China or Malaysia?
You could cut some of it out.
And he's just entered the back straight. He'll be back in 5 minutes when he gets to the end.
And you can have adverts back. It doesn't matter if it's interrupted. Nothing to interrupt.
I press mute on adverts, so it'd be just like... you'd have a two-lap race, and that'd be it. Which line are you taking through this corner? I know there's about 1,000.
That was the thing.
I'm only doing 50 mile an hour.
We used to watch it on Eurosport in the early days, in the early 90s. It was Eurosport that covered Formula One with John Watson and another chap who used to commentate for it. And it was through Sky TV at the time because Jonathan had it and watched it down at his house. And we were only about 17 or 18. And so we're watching these races. And then, of course, they'd have the advert breaks. And it was fantastic because the adverts that you got on those TV on that channel was far better than the ones you get on ITV or anything else. It was fun. They're all like racing cars and they had these really emotive Italian adverts, you know, with the Ferraris racing past and you know, pretty girls and all the kind of things that you never get now. They're not allowed to diversity. But
the t-shirt
you've
got now is David Coulthard or Eddie Jordan.
But no, that's the thing. Ant said you could use a Sinclair C5.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, well, you never know. That must be time for an update. At least there must be time for
a Sinclair C5. Yeah, it's called the Nissan Leaf, isn't it?
Yeah, it's maybe slightly more refined.
Formula E with pedals. Yeah. I don't know if there's enough Sinclair C5s there. I'd take you back to my original idea, a motorbike car, a Formula One car, and a bicycle.
And then
three people. You got the F1 driver, the MotoGP driver, and top flight Olympic cyclist. And that's one team. And all three have to do so many laps each. You split it into three.
Yeah. Like a triathlon.
Triwheelion. You've got eight wheels altogether.
Oh, that's a thing.
Octawheelion.
That would be all right, wouldn't it? Well, now we will come to a decision as to if we're going to be commentating on Sunday night. Perhaps you can let us know in the comments what you think. If we should be out there trying to commentate again on the Chinese Grand Prix this Sunday, I think it's 6 o'clock. Now, whether that's the start time, these things aren't always that clear. Whether it's the actual start of the race or if it's the start of the coverage. I reckon it'll probably be the start of the coverage. And it'll be qualifying after that. And then eventually we'll get some form of race. But if we can, we will do our best to get to that, because I think that would be a lot of fun. But on tonight is a shorter show, just because we've got quite a lot of things to do this week and lots of exciting news to announce in the coming weeks as well.
2 hours gets the drags on a bit, doesn't it?
Ah, well, I don't know if they can take 2 hours of us. My goodness me.
I know I can't.
But for all our...
When we did the commentary last time, we commentated on the virtual Grand Prix race, but then there was one after, wasn't there?
Yeah, that was a very good one.
What it was really confusing until it started, wasn't it? We had no idea what was actually going on in the programme. But when it started, it was the pro sim races, wasn't it?
That's right,
and
for the
I've
second
got to
one.
Say, that the F1 race was a bit of a joke.
Yeah, but the pro was better.
But when you saw the guys that do it, well, they're doing it for a living, aren't they? They're champions. Well, they were like all champions, weren't they, or something like that?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all pro sim racers. Yeah,
and they
were
really
good.
As much.
Yeah,
straight line corners, like so-called professional F1 drivers did.
And that was all with the same settings as well, which is even more impressive. I mean, I think they've maybe got good settings. I don't know if it was a standard setup or if it was refined setups or not. But if they've got a good setup, then they were flying and they were fast. It was pretty good. It was great fun.
When you get that kind of close, it's not. There's this thing that's annoying. This close racing. There must be close racing. Well, you know, you can make everyone do no more than 20 mile an hour, and everyone's going to be dead close. But this was close racing because they were all really quick and really good. That's what we actually want, is those kind of battles and the skill. And that's like a...
That's what brings
the
intensity.
Showing what we want and what we like in Formula One as well, isn't it? It's that speed and skill that comes from doing it so well. And they're all so close because they're at the edge of performance, the edge of what you can do in these things.
Like Hamilton pitting earlier at Hungary and then catching up eventually with Max Verstappen with the last few laps to go. And at first it didn't look like he was going to do it. And then all of a sudden it just started to add up and he got closer and closer and eventually got him. But that was a great race.
I remember when Rosberg and Hamilton were doing all their battles and all this kind of stuff. Now, the things I remember are not them smashing into each other. That wasn't great. I used to get annoyed by the excuses made. You know, when Rosberg goes and his corner's going that way and he goes... Oh, no, Hamilton's coming. I better go round the corner. You know... the school of Michael Schumacher driving. What I remember is that, because this was my measurement of who was the better driver. Okay, because they were both so close in outright speed, weren't they?
Yeah.
But I don't know if you remember that. I think it was the 2014 season. So it's Hamilton's first
season, proper season with Rosberg.
His first championship year, or was that 2015?
He won the championship in 2014, but it was the first year of the hybrid years where Mercedes were actually really competitive. Yeah,
and there was times when Rosberg would catch Hamilton up and would overtake him a few times, and I remember there'd be like a 5, 6, 7 lap battle between them, And if Hamilton was in front, what would happen is that Rosberg might get past and Hamilton would undercut and get back past him, and that's how the battles went. If it was the other way around and Rosberg was in front, Hamilton would get past and it would stick.
But
it was never like one corner. It was five or six corners, and then another 10 laps or another 8 laps or something. You know, it was full-on battle.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Hamilton always seemed to come out on top in those head-to-head battles if Rosberg didn't smash into him. They didn't actually bash into each other. And it just said something about the racecraft, the wheel-to-wheel battlecraft, if you like.
Yeah, because they were pretty strong in Bahrain. It was pretty rough but tight. And then, of course, in Spain, they took each other off. That was in the latter years.
But to be fair, it was
because you saw that on board, and all of a sudden, Hamilton got this incredible drive through turn three in Spain, you know, as he come through the chicane. And it was just like launching the car up behind Rosberg. And I think so when Rosberg slowed down, he just didn't, you know, he just wasn't expecting it as much.
There was a bit of red mist involved, I think, as well.
Yeah, a little bit. But they all know that if they hit someone, they're in big trouble because they'll get a penalty or they'll go off and it will ruin the race. And, they have such incredible...
Was Spa the Spa incident before that or after? I think it was before that, wasn't it?
When
they've just come over the top, they go down the big straight. I can remember the name of the corners. I do apologise. You go Eau Rouge, you get to the top. You've got the massive long straight. And that next corner, which is right and left. The one Hakkinen did that famous overtake on
Schumacher. Oh, yes, aye. Is it? So,
both of them ended up with punctures, didn't they? And Toto, I think, was going to kill them because they were both out, like in Spain.
Aye.
And then the idea of them both being out, you know.
Because that's not what they want. But, I don't know, that is quite. It was a very good battle between them. And now that it's Bottas and Hamilton, I mean, they've had their odd battle, but they've not. I mean, clearly Hamilton is seen as the number one and is driven away. And yet Bottas did extremely well for Williams, got that car up, led the British Grand Prix. It's very, very good. It just shows you just how good Hamilton is, I think, on those levels. And it'll be interesting to see how he gets on.
I like Bottas. I do like Bottas, and I do like how he doesn't give up. Mm-hmm. He keeps trying. He keeps learning. He understands that you don't become a world champion in a day. It's a process, isn't it? I mean, some people watching that episode of The Power and the Glory about the right stuff, and as we were talking about Stirling Moss the other day, the little interview with him, he was saying that some people are born with it's like natural, you know, the senders. Yeah. The Fangios, the Clarks, and this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Some people have to work hard, and he was saying things, people like the Mansells of this world, that you just have the Hunts. You have to work at it, and almost batter your way into
being able to
be fast. And he reckoned he was a kind of a 50-50. He had a certain amount of empathy with the car and feel for the car, but he also had to work hard to develop it. You know. Bottas understands that he's got to keep working and find out how he can improve. And I like that. DC was like that. DC always improved. He just got better and better and better. He was a proper trier. Now, Hakkinen, people go on about Hakkinen, how amazing and fast he was. But then if he was at the front, every time he was more than two cars back, he gave up. I remember that. I remember Hakkinen, who I like. I thought great, he was world champion. But Schumacher would never give up. DC would never give up. Hamilton never gives up. Senna, God forbid, would never give up. Yeah. Fangio, the greatest race in motor racing history was the Nürburgring race, where he's in a Maserati 250F fighting against two Ferraris. I think it's Mike Hawthorne and possibly Brooks. And they get something like a... several minutes lead on him because of a botched pit stop. He chases after them, and this in the days when it was a 3-hour race, okay, and on the proper Nordschleife. He had to unlap himself. He caught them up, overtook them, and won by quite a distance.
He
broke the lap record 11 times doing it. He got out the car and his tyres were shreds, and he just went, I'm never doing that again, because he wasn't used to, you know, we've talked about people that coax the car over the line to get the maximum speed they need, but no more, because the car would kill you.
Yeah.
He was a master at that, you know. What he did is he threw that out the window and for some reason just went 10 tenths for the whole of that race on the nerve. I mean, that's a killer course.
Yeah.
He would, but he could have just gone, oh, well, I've lost now. But he didn't.
Uh-huh.
He went after them.
Yeah.
Hakkinen used to just go, can't be bothered. What's going on?
Well, I remember when he went out at Monza and he was crying on the side of the track.
when he beached it.
Yeah, that was quite something, because that allowed the Ferraris to do take the lead, was not Schumacher. And that changed the whole attitude of the race. Was suddenly we were all on fire. You know, it was just like, wow, it was incredible.
That's why he retired, though, isn't it? Because the pressure had really got
to him. I think at that point he realised that he was struggling a bit. And he'd been in for quite a while. You know, he'd been around a long time.
But, yeah. I mean, that was his second year, wasn't it? That was his second world championship, not second year, but his second potential world championship.
Yeah.
He got the first one, great, that's wonderful. But then you've got to repeat it. And then there's the pressure. This is the problem with desires, isn't it? If you want something and it suddenly becomes important, that's when the pressure starts to show.
Yeah.
The pressure makes you make mistakes because you do stupid things or you don't stay calm or whatever. And it was a silly mistake on his part, wasn't it? It was ever so silly little thing. Car on the curb. Back wheels spinning around, and he's getting out and chucking his stuff down, all this kind of stuff. And you got the helicopter sort of peeking on his knees through the trees. It's funny, isn't it? The psychology of something Jackie Stewart said when he went into motor racing. He was already a multiple champion at clay pigeon at shooting. Olympic standard. I think he missed getting into the Olympics by a point. Because his timing was off on the day of the trials. So he was already a European, British, Scottish, English and Welsh champion. So he'd been in top flight sport already as a young man. So he went into motor racing already knowing how to deal with the pressure.
Yeah.
It wasn't a problem. It was like, well, I've done this. I know what to do. Because if you're doing that, you've got the shooting, you've got to be very calm, haven't you? Everything's got to be... You can't just... So, the psychology of it all, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Oh, definitely. 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 Now, on that note, we'll need to call it a night. It's 45 minutes of the show. But I want to say a big thank you to Ant and all our viewers and listeners who have been on Podbean and on YouTube and also on the Car Sim and Race Driver Show on our Facebook page. Thank you so much for watching and listening to us tonight. And this will go out as a podcast tomorrow as well. And hopefully we will get things sorted out and we'll get some commentary for Sunday night. I know that Andrew is desperate to say what would you like to
say. Well, I just want to say I came up the other day with a saying. You know, you have your drive fast and stay out of trance crash. Yeah. I'm just thinking of Star Wars and motor racing. If you and it can may the talk be with you.
Ah, very good. Very good. Very good.
Yes, and the bad guy would be, what was it called? Darth Engine. That's not quite so
or
good.
Something that's powered by an FSO. Or something like that. You know, as bad as it could be. But, on that note.
Formula Jedi.
Exactly. It's time to drive fast and try not to crash. Take care.
Bye.
And we'll see you next week. Bye just now.
Bye-bye.